JSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You are now listening to Wire and Nerve. I have a very special show to do for you guys today. Last Monday was a pre-recorded show, so this is the first time I'm checking in a couple weeks, and it has been a wild couple of weeks. I went to a few concerts. I saw Ultrasun live, which was awesome. And I saw Health. Well, not Health. I couldn't make it to the show. But I went to the Health after party, and I interviewed Johnny Health, the man himself from Health. I'll be playing that in a little bit, but let's kick it off because we're in such a health mood. Let's kick it off some Health. This is Vibe Cop from their new album, Conflict DLC.
That means they don't nurse their young, right? Well, have you ever heard of something called pigeon milk? Pigeons, one of the most ancient of domesticated birds, feed their nestlings a peculiar milky liquid straight from the adult's beak to the baby's throat. It's often called crop milk because it comes from special cells in the bird's crop. The crop's a section of the lower esophagus in some birds that's used for storing food before digestion. Unlike milk from mammals, pigeon milk doesn't come from a mammary gland, but it does come loaded with antioxidants and immune boosters that help the new hatchlings survive. A couple of days before their eggs hatch, both pigeon parents start making the milky substance, which they'll feed their hatchlings over the first 10 days of their lives. When the special feeding stops, the special crop milk cells return to normal. Pigeons and doves aren't the only birds that can make this special milk. Flamingos and some species of penguins can too. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is brought to you by Wild Delight Bird Food, which aims to support wild bird populations with clean, nutritious ingredients in every blend. Available at Chewy.com.
Now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Let's roll it.
Okay, this is Wire and Nerve interviewing Johnny Health from Health.
Yes, it is me.
Thank you so much for being on this interview, Johnny. I just have a few questions for you.
Hit it.
First of all, just starting off quick, what are some of your non-musical influences for the stuff you do with Health?
I mean, obviously, like, a lot of people say weird shit, but, like, truthfully, music is the main influence. Mm. But, I mean, I could just throw random things out there. Like,
that's perfect.
Elden Ring.
Love Elden Ring.
But yeah, I mean, most of you are influenced by other music. I mean, there are weird things that come into, but I've never, like, they have these stories like, you know, Bono told the Edge to make his guitar sound like El Salvador, and that's why he did it. It's like, sure, bud, he hit a fucking power chord, you know. But like, yeah,
So I guess then, what are some of your musical influences? Where do you take inspiration from?
Tons. I mean, like, most of our influences are, you know, would be like Rolling Stones Top 500, but I guess other ones, I guess I'm trying to think something more interesante. We love Factory Records. Obviously, we love Jordy Column. I mean, you can hear it all over our music. We're pretty. Tons of stuff has been influential. We're obviously we're very influenced by current pop music or whatever is going on at the time. Now is a weird time where there is no weird pop. There is no pop music, but we're very influenced by current electronic music trends or pop trends or whatever. So we're always just listening. Here's the thing: for all artists, you have to keep listening to current music, even if you don't like it. The second you stop listening to current music, you lose all touch, and this happens to tons of artists. They stop listening to current music and they start making those shit that. So you, even if you don't like it, you have to be listening to current music.
Interesting. Do you ever tap into the like older industrial roots, like things like Esther Sunday Neubauten or?
Absolutely. I mean, it's weird. Our history as a band has weirdly mirrored the history of industrial music. Where in our early days, we were also very inspired by groups like Throbbing Gristle and very esoteric stuff, and we were more noise and abstract. And weirdly, we've turned into the most commercial version of industrial, which is industrial metal, which we are currently in right now. So we are our own career has strangely mirrored the history of the genre.
I mean, yeah, sampling Godflesh.
We've been pretty brazen. We were very obvious on purpose, where we were like, okay, we want anyone in this zone to know that we're saying like, hi, we are industrial, quote unquote, or industrial metal, whatever you want to say. And we felt we could get away with it because Jake's voice is so different and the way we do things is so different, even if we directly straight rip off all the biggest names in this zone.
I mean, it still works.
Which we did very brazenly. Not the whole album, but we did have a checklist where we're like, Godflesh, Ministry. You know, we just kept going out.
That's sick. I mean, if it works, it works. You're still coming up with something new.
I think for us, it was just really just telling anyone on that team, be like, hi, hello, notice us.
Thank you. All right, well then, getting more into it, when you're recording a new song, how does the like process come about? How do you start a song?
We do have no formula. We have, like, Jake starts demos, I start demos. Sometimes I'll just come in and I'll be like, I want this. Figure it out. And, you know, it's like, it doesn't make sense. Like, there's no, literally no formula. We just do whatever works, and we're very good at collaborating, good at working, and we also trust each other. So if Jake says, like, that sucks, I'm like, all right, I believe you. And it goes that way. So we're good. We're good at working with people. And with strangers, too. We work with writers, collaborators, producers, all kinds of people.
I mean, I was reading the description on Conflict DLC off Apple Music, and you talked about how you had the guitarist from Lamb of God help you with Vibe Cop?
Yeah, like all in last minute. When the song was basically done, I was like, hey, I was the perturbator, you know, ripping at 7 a.m. And he said, this riff sucks. Can you help me? He's like, I got you, bud. He helped me in 24 hours. Boom. A great guy, Willie.
Sweet. So then for artists who are trying to kind of get into what you're doing with like the industrial metal, kind of popular stuff, like, do you have any tips or tricks for stuff like that?
I wish I did. I think the world is so upside down. What I would say is watch Jesse Cannon on YouTube.
Okay.
That should be your meta. Jesse Cannon, if you're trying to get into music now, you need to understand the interwebs, and you need to not follow any paradigm of older bands, even as, you know, like from the in any era, because this is a very different era.
90s.
You have actually weirdly more power now than you ever had in history, but you're up against everything. So weirdly, like in the 80s, I don't know, 90s, whatever, it's like, if you couldn't got on a major, you just probably wouldn't be heard.
I mean, and then even the like smaller labels like Sub Pop and Wax Trax got bought out later on.
Well, back then, I mean, here's the thing, you'd have to fight to get all those things. It's just like, without the label, you could do nothing. Now you could do it tomorrow. I mean, like, if you're really attractive and are, like, good at the social media, like, you could get noticed tomorrow, and you could tack on whatever kind of music you wanted in seconds. Like, if you were a gorgeous person, and you could probably do free noise, and it would probably get decently big. It's just, like, it's just very open. So, which is, like, even as bad, as dystopian as it sounds, you've never actually had more power, even though it's up. And you see even established bands are like, POV, your favorite artist did this.
Hey, thank you so much for that, man. That was fucking awesome. Go ahead. I really appreciate that. Thanks for coming through. Do you need anything else before
No. I gotta run fast for this interview real quick. I gotta run.
No, you're chilling. It's okay. Anyway, so even though you don't really need a label in this like time of music, people still got signed. I mean, aren't you signed onto a label?
We are. We're about to be free and clear in a second. But I'm not sure what we should do.
Self-publishing is like a
it turns out to me. However, the rest of the band is like, John, I don't want you to try and run a label right now. Who knows what we're gonna do.
How's it been on Loma Vista?
They've been there so long. We're their only Ghost, which is their biggest band. We're the second longest band.
Okay.
We got signed pretty much right after Ghost.
Ghost, the Swedish?
The big Ghost. Yeah, damn. The Swedish. So we are the two longest artists on Loma Vista, so it's been very interesante.
Awesome. So with your... I mean, you guys have been in the game for a while.
More than a while.
What's that been like, just riding the waves of success through the 2000s, 2010s?
Well, we've always been outsiders, and we're lucky that we weren't so attached to sort of like hype machine that we could stick around. Unlikely weird story. And that's why, you know, going back to what I was saying about like ripping off big artists, we're like, we really want to make clear, like, we never had a genre, even when we were associated with other weird underground stuff and to the indie world. We were like, we never had a genre. We've always been outsiders.
Yeah.
We still are today, but we wanted to be like, industrial. We want to be like, hey, hello, fans of this, you know, you can get into this. So we're trying to be as clear as possible.
Awesome. So I guess the next thing is like, I mean, after this tour, after the Conflict DLC tour, what's next for Health?
Disco 5.
Of course.
So you know, we have a schedule. People want collabs. We're gonna do more collabs. We're gonna create names on that. I've done anything. I mean, Addendum EP and R-Type 4 and 5 are coming out while this tour is going on.
Addendum EP? I'm not sure if I've heard of that one.
So Addendum technically came out with Rat Wars Ultra Edition. I hate extended editions. We were forced.
Me too. Yeah. Oh my god.
They fucking ruin albums. So as a way to salvage it, this Addendum EP will take those added tracks. I'm gonna destroy the extended edition on streaming. And I made sure it never came out physical, because Addendum will be a separate EP with all the bonus tracks and standalone. And then we will be releasing a giant box set called the Rap Box, which will have all 5 R-Types plus Addendum, which makes 3 LPs, plus Conflict, plus Rat Wars, which is 5 LPs. A 5 LP set and a box set.
Maybe you should release that on CD too.
We should. We're doing KIT and LP, but I think there's enough demand that we should just do CD.
I'm a CD guy personally. So.
CD's nuts, but yes.
Great. Hold on, I asked. Oh. I guess one last thing. I love your vest. Where did you get it from?
This thing.
Yeah.
This is a Venia collection. They're a brand in LA.
Okay.
They make really great clothes. This is my jacket from them too.
They're kind of like
the current meta of like Rick Owens, Cool Guy Fashion, plus like Final Fantasy in a lot of ways. And
they
kind of fetch that. They're really cool people. It's been a new development where, like, you know, fancy clothes people are like, you want this? I'm like, that's expensive. They're like, I'll give you the influencer discount. I'm like, all right, I'm listening. I'm a big fan, and it's really nice to go. So basically, like this jacket, like I went there, tried it on, looked in the mirror, I'm like, God damn, I have to buy this thing. But this one I saw online, I had to have it because to me it reminded me of Bloodborne. So I have this like Bloodborne collar, and you know, on stage, you don't want to be too hot, but this can just upgrade anything I'm wearing.
It's kind of got the coolant with the like space in the front too.
Yeah, this is. I mean, it's hot. I'm wearing a scarf, but it's fine. It's not. It's totally fine. You know, like
we saw.
You know, we put Nash as a health vest. Trent is just playing in a fucking full jacket, just pouring buckets of sweat. So at least I can do is wear a fucking scarf.
Do you have the Bloodborne hat too?
No,
not yet.
I'm not wearing. My head's too big for any.
I feel that. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Ryan.
All right, call this car.
Awesome. All
right. For any of you wondering, the vest we were talking about is veniacollection.com, V-E-N-I-A, the Fujin harness. It is currently available in sizes small and medium. So if you want to pick up the vest that Johnny Health wore when I interviewed him, you can, if you're in the right size. More Health. This is Power Fantasy by Health featuring 100 Gex.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Body, find the limits. Greetings, netizens. Join us every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific for Bitcoover FM, featuring the best in chiptune, video game soundtracks, synthesized music, history of electronic instruments, and more, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll see you in the virtual plaza, and remember to synthesize with nostalgia.
Wire and Nerve on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That brings us to a close for our health power half hour. I'd like to thank Johnny Health for being able to interview. Coming up next, we have some Godflesh. Woo! Everybody cheers because Godflesh is awesome. I couldn't get my hands on Street Cleaner. That's coming soon. Right now we're listening to Merciless EP, the song Unworthy. Let's listen.